direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and as usual, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, but I always try to pick a few starter stories, and usually James on the South Side sends me enough links, though we've curbed his desire to send dozens. Just send a few good ones, and oh, he did. And so here we have a hospital in Newark, a well-known hospital, I'll leave it at that, but known for its transplant units and things of that nature, and so it is. So it is that there's a lawsuit. And this lawsuit is just horrifying to me. When I read this, I'm like, I'm never going to a hospital again. Just not. After all that happened with COVID and all that, this is sort of like the icing on the cake. Actually, ProPublica did an investigation and put the conversation between the head of staff and the medical doctors online. I'll just cut to the chase. It was a fairly young man who needed a heart transplant. In 2018, he was hoping for a new lease on life because he'd been suffering for years of congestive heart failure. Now, unfortunately, he suffered brain damage during the procedure and he never woke up. Okay, that happens. And we could go into how often it was happening at this hospital or whatever, but that's not the story. The story is this. In that kind of a situation where clearly you're not waking up, you would think if there wasn't any advance directive, and by the way, the hospital never asked for one upon admission, so they didn't have one, but you'd think at least that the next of kin would be given the decision of what to do. Well, it turns out that they intentionally kept this guy alive for over a year because they didn't want it to affect their metrics. Yeah, I kid you not. Apparently, there was a spate of bad outcomes that pushed the medical center's percentage of patients still alive 1 year after surgery down quite a bit below the national average. So medical staff were under pressure to boost that metric. Now, you would think you would be boosting it by providing better care and having better outcomes, but in this case, the meeting shows that the discussion was not about how to treat this man who wound up being brain dead during the procedure, but how to keep him alive for at least another year because they feared a hit to the program's survival rate and they thought it would attract scrutiny from regulators. Now, the director of the plant transplant program, who is no longer with the hospital, and I won't mention any names again, but on the recording is cautioning his team against offering this brain dead man's family the option of switching from aggressive care to comfort care, in which no life-saving efforts would have been made and he would have passed naturally. And he acknowledged, actually, that these actions were very unethical but necessary. Oh, no. Oh, no. So the now-deceased man's sister is bringing a lawsuit, and it is fascinating to me because apparently this is not an isolated incident. So it just caused me, I know, all week long, earlier we found out in the week that electronic health records were now being augmented by AI. Yeah, give me a break. So, be afraid, very afraid. I'll just do like the animals. I'll just go out behind the tree and die. All right, we'll get to Bruce and Elwood. Going to talk about old-time radio, but Jim from Richmond has been hanging on, wants to give us the latest on his efforts. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to give you some information that could help people in my area.
Okay.
Tomorrow from 8 to 11 at the Department of Human and Family Services in Elkhorn, which is across the street from the courthouse, they are having a senior citizen fair, and they're going to have every department there where you could get information from all these departments, and they're going to have raffles and giveaways and stuff like that. Right. I didn't find out about that until last night. I'm trying to get my neighbor to go because he's disabled, and we'll find out if we're going tomorrow. But I wanted to pass something to somebody else.
That's great. Now, maybe you and your neighbor, if nothing else, can get an Uber to go, some way to get there.
Right.
I hope you can go.
Oh, no, he can drive.
Oh.
But what I'm saying is I'm trying to help other seniors in the area that may not know about it.
Well, now we do. So a good deal, 8 to 11 tomorrow morning in Elkhorn. And, every department being there is great. Now, along those lines, we got a call last night. You probably heard it. I never even thought about it to check to see if there was a 211 service near you. And apparently there is. I looked that up after the air, and it's through Milwaukee and Image. But if you dial 211 on your cell phone, you can get a ton of information on programs available.
Okay, yes, and Kim is looking into, she sent me a link. She said, hold on to that link, and when we're going to meet next week.
Okay.
And she's going to work through a bunch of stuff with me.
Great.
And she said that link is possibly given, I could get a free iPad.
That'd be wonderful.
Right. And then the other news today is, D&P called me and said they had an opening, so they came out at 5 o'clock. And what's really funny is Bear barks at everybody.
Right.
Bear fell in love with the guy before he walked in the door.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So I knew I could trust this guy.
Yeah.
And he worked on the washing machine for a half an hour, and he using two different meters to try and find out what was wrong. It turns out that the wiring harness that goes into the little black box in the front is shot. And so then he right away, his, all these devices and stuff, finds out there's none in the area. The only one that's around is in Iowa.
Oh, great.
So they have to order it, and it costs $207 for the harness.
Whoa. Now, let me ask
you. I paid $289 for the wash machine.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Is it time to look around for another washer?
$600 is the cheapest one that I can find anywhere.
Well, new, but maybe something used in good condition.
Right, but I don't have a problem with that because I'll just put it on the credit card.
All right.
But I was happy about that. So now it won't be here to the middle of next week, and it was so funny. I had my brother come out and move the dryer away from the shower so I can take a shower.
Yeah,
and Bear barked all the whole time he was here.
But he liked
he didn't
the D&P
bark at the
people.
Repairman.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe that tells you something.
Well, they had a little incident. He tried to hook him to the leash to let him out, and Bear tried to bite him and smacked him in the mouth. So,
there's bad blood there. Yeah.
Right, so bad blood there. And so I wanted to let the seniors know about that because I want to help somebody.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And then number two, I found out that my family's listening. So hi, family.
Oh, terrific. All right. So hello to all of you. How very nice of them.
Right, because my brother in Niles called me and said that my sister's listening and your other brother's listening. So
terrific.
Hello to all of them. And like I said, we're going to meet with Kim. She's going to drive all the way to Delavan, and we're going to meet, and she's going to go over a bunch of stuff.
Great.
So
great. We'll get you independent.
Appreciative to all of your listeners.
Absolutely.
And I hope I helped anybody out that could go to Human Services Department tomorrow.
Terrific. No, that's great. We're going to get you independent, I promise. So everybody's working toward that. And I know your family will pitch in, too, and I appreciate that in advance.
Right.
All right, so Jim.
Thank you, and have a great evening.
You, too. Thanks for letting us know. All right. So
okay. Bye-bye.
Things are on track for Jim, and that's great. Nothing beats independence. I'll tell you what. And so we'll get to Bruce and Elwood here. Ah, old-time radio. Yeah, you don't have to twist my arm to talk about that. However, very sad thing today. I got the word. One of my former program directors, yes, someone who put up with me when I was playing records, and that was a lot, I'd say about 47 years ago, but George Johns, and we remained friends over the year. Today was his birthday, his 83rd birthday. He celebrated by dying. I kid you not. And I knew George would go out in style, and indeed he has. And as far as I know, it was sudden, so he didn't suffer, and that's the best news at all. But even so, it is a loss. So first thing John said is, do you have any jingles? And I, you know, because WIBC was famous for their Heller jingles, which George oversaw. And I said, I think I've got a couple.
You start with your age, multiply by the temperature, 3 times your license number plus your area code. Add the time of the day and divide by the zip code. The answer is 1070 WIBC.
Yes, I like Indianapolis soda.
Rest in peace, George. We will be seeing you on the other side. We'll pick it up with Bruce and you two coming up on WGN Radio. And yeah, that's Giacomo Bondi. We were talking about him last night in conjunction with Brazilian Jumbo and Lindo Lindo. That was out in 2017 on Time Out, but it was a CD that was a compilation. It wasn't all Bondi or Brazilian Jumbo. It was called Bossa Nova Chill Out Dinner Party on Time Out. So yes, Eduardo wanted to hear it, and a fine choice it was. So now, that said, before we get to Bruce here, Shirley wants to know about a song we played. So, all right, Shirley, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, I am so thrilled to be talking to you. I am so nervous.
Oh,
I'm
don't
shaking.
Be. No, don't be.
Oh,
there's nothing to it.
Thank you so much, Raleigh.
Sure.
I just adore you. I listen to you every night, and I was a little late tuning in last night. It was about 11:30,
mm-hmm.
and you played a song. It was in Spanish and in English.
Yeah.
And it was... Oh, gosh, I can't even think now. Please.
I played two of them, both by the same group, Rene, because Rene Herrera, it would have been his birthday today. So that's why
okay.
I played it. But
Angelique. Believe me is what I heard the words to. Believe me when I tell you that I love you.
Okay. That was the big hit. Now, I like Angelito better. But, yeah, you're talking about Renee and Ray, Renee y Renee. And okay. that would be Lo Mucho Que Te Quiero.
Okay. Lo Mucho Que Te Quiero.
Q-U-I-E-R-O.
Okay. Oh, Rowdy, yeah, this is such a thrill. Oh, my dear.
Oh, sure.
Oh, now let me make sure
it's the right one first, Shirley. Let's hear a little more of it, see if the right one.
When are you going to play it?
There.
Quisiera.
Yes. That's it, right? Yes, believe me.
Oh,
when I
my
say
goodness.
I love you. Yeah.
That harmony blows me away.
Oh, well, great. Yeah.
Oh,
they're in the Tejano Music Hall of Fame.
Yes. And can you repeat that name again?
Yeah. Of the group? Renee.
That song?
Oh, the song is Lo Mucho, L O M U C H O, Que Te Quiero. Q U E T E Q U I E R O. And that the label on that, I'm trying to think of who that was actually White Whale distributed it in America, but it was originally on ARV International, 1968.
68, wow.
Yeah, 68.
Oh, so, Rowdy, you're beautiful. Oh, gosh. You made my evening. I will look at this more, and I hope I can, track it down.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I just loved it. It just caught my ears, like the harmony was beautiful.
Now, did you hear?
Thank you, Rowdy.
Oh,
you
sure.
Have a good night,
sure.
Honey.
Thanks for calling, Shirley. I appreciate it.
You're
right.
Welcome. Bye-bye, dear.
Like I say, I don't know if Shirley heard the song we played before it. Yeah, that was my favorite of Renee y Renee. But, yeah, Angelito, which was such a wonderful record. It never was a hit, of course. But I thought it was just charming. Yeah, all right, so. The one that did it for me, and good old Abe Epstein. His heart was in the right place in San Antonio. He had a recording studio and had the absolute worst audio in it ever, but he sure recorded a lot of otherwise great stuff, and Angelito was one of them. All right, so now, with that in mind, we will get to Bruce in Elwood in moments here on WGN Radio.
Shed a tear.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Julie London.
Yeah,
Johnny D. in Ohio wanted to hear Cry Me a River, and I couldn't resist. I thought it was a terrific record. Came out in 1955, although I admit, when I first used to hear it, I was a kid. To me, it was Cry Me a River, you know, like as in Crimea, the little Crimea, the little country on the Black Sea. Yeah, it was a while before I realized. No, in any event, that was actually recorded between marriages for her. She had been married to Jack Webb, yeah, as in Dragnet, from like 1947 through 54. And then she was single for a while, married Bobby Troup thereafter in 1959, and was an actress before she was a singer. And then, of course, later wound up back acting again, was on the TV series Emergency, 126 episodes between 1972 and 78. She was Dixie McCall, and Bobby Troup was on that show as well, played Dr. Joe Early. So, yeah, and it was Jack Webb who had some interest in that show as well, so clearly there were no tremendously hard feelings, and that's a good thing. All right, so 888-876-5593. Bruce and Elwood, what's up?
How you doing, Raleigh?
All right.
Couple things I wanted to talk about. One is I just got my new Steve Crane catalog for 2025.
Oh, yeah.
And you're on every picture, every radio.
Yeah.
Everyone is 720.
That's great.
In the catalog.
Love them. God love them. All right. Well, that's much appreciated.
Yeah, it was funny. It just came the other day. You know, I get it every year, and I'm looking at it, and I go, oh, there's 720. And I turn the page, and there's...
Yeah. No, that's
SSD?
True. It's in the 2024 catalog as well, and I get a kick out of that.
Oh, I didn't see it in 20.
Yeah,
okay. What I want to talk about, though, a little bit is old-time radio.
Yes.
And some of you just managed Dragnet, because we're going into, I mean, I'm right on the edge, like so many other people right now. And when you go off at night, there's really nothing else on that's not political.
Now, isn't the show that WGN is now carrying, that overnight show from WABC, is that political? Because I know they changed hosts a while ago.
Yeah, but it gets political, too.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, the only thing that isn't political that's out there, really, is Coast to Coast, and it...
Oh, God. Well, you know, if Art Bell was still there, I'd say absolutely, but as it is now, I'd rather watch paint dry.
I loved Art Bell.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
He was made for that show.
There's no more out there either.
No. Oh, there used to be so many great overnight hosts, if you go back in time, truly great, of every persuasion, from a Dolly Holiday for Holiday Inns to, you know, all the truckin' shows to you name it. And,
Of
course, Gene Shepard, man.
I love the truckin' Bozo.
Absolutely. Bozo was wonderful. And, of course, Bill Mack and Charlie Douglas and everybody else. Yeah, it was just wonderful.
There's just nothing on at night, you know. The one that's on after you, it's not as political as some, but they get there.
Okay.
Because they're out of WABC.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought that he was, and see, I don't know because I don't hear it, but I thought that he was going to be doing more of the Art Bell kind of topics.
He'll get into it for a little bit, and then it'll get political.
Oh.
I used to listen to that channel on weekends.
Right.
Because I got the Sea Crane 2E.
Right, sure.
And that's Curtis Sliwa on weekends.
Oh, so yeah.
That gets pretty political. But what I just kind of wanted to bring up for people is we're going into probably the most frustrating month of our lives coming up.
Yeah, I plan to ignore it entirely. You know, like last night somebody said, well, you'll watch the debate of the vice president. I said, no, I'm going to watch a rerun of Law and Order. And that's exactly what I did. Well, then I watched Chicago, the Chicago PD one. I loved that one. So that's about it.
Well, that's just what I wanted to mention to someone. A lot of the people that call you, I know, are stressed. I can hear it in their voices, too. They're stressed like I'm stressed. And when you go off tonight, I will just go to YouTube and say, Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
Okay, sure.
And there's 500 shows.
Right.
Or I've been going through a lot of them as ones that really, Phil Harris and Alice Say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all you got to do is say, go, you know, hit the mic and say, Phil Harris and Alice Say, and it'll give you 400 episodes and just let them play. And,
oh, sure.
And it takes you back to a place that's not political. It's just...
Right. Right. Yeah, it's fun. I always like Johnny Dollar, the man with the action-packed expense account. Yeah.
I got hooked on Dragnets the other night.
Sure,
four or five Dragnets.
Yes. And Armis Brooks. All the comedy stuff I like, too. Like I say, I liked Armis Brooks and Fibber McGee and everybody else.
Gildersleeve.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The great Gildersleeve always reminds me of the Grease Man when he was on the air in Jacksonville. So, yeah. So, yes.
You know what makes Gildersleeve and Phil Harris is Walter Tetley.
I'll go with that. I will.
The guy was so underrated. I mean, his voice. I mean, he plays Leroy and he plays Julius, the smart aleck grocery delivery guy. And it sounds like two different voices, but they're both, adolescent.
Yeah, he was tremendous. And he died in about mid-70s, 75 or so. But he started out in cartoons, I think. He was doing Felix the Cat. And then...
He was Sherman on Mr. Peabody, too.
Yeah, he was so many things. Yeah, Peabody's Improbable History, right. And he did some Rocky and Friends, and he did a lot of voiceover for Capitol Records in the 50s. He was on some of the Stan Freberg stuff and all of that. But he was on the Zero Hour, which was Rod Serling, remember, before his TV foray, the Zero Hour. You can hear him in the Princess Stakes Murder. Yeah, look for the Zero Hour. I'm sure they're still on. I'm sure it's still on there.
Yeah, but it's just something that people, when you're just laying there at night, it's like something like you want. It keeps my attention, but it doesn't get me worked up.
Yeah, yeah.
I can listen to Phil Harris do stupid stuff and then go to sleep.
Right, absolutely. Well, that's like, I usually pick my near-death people, and as far as that goes. So, all these people are at the other side and coming back with that word of knowledge, it's like, all right, let me hear it, and all that. But look for the Zero Hour. There's a lot of it. So you'll see that on there as well. And then, of course, when CBS did that Mystery Theater with Hyman Brown, when they had that in the 70s at night, I loved that. But I'd be driving across the country. It would scare the living daylights out of me. I remember once driving. It was a brand new interstate. So this must have been about 1980, actually. But it was a brand new interstate, I-64, where it was. And there's nothing else near me. And I'm so scared listening to Hyman Brown that I turn on my dome light. And I later realized, wait a minute, now I'm just going to be, an attraction for ETs. This is not a good idea.
Yeah.
But all those things, I loved them.
You know what, though? Back then was a time when you could travel across the country at night. We made a lot of trips to Michigan. We had a farm up in Michigan, and you'd leave here like 10 at night, and there was all kinds of channels you could listen to.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah. Absolutely. It's interesting. A friend gave me a new radio that's terrific for DXing, and I'm truly appreciative. But what I had to think was, I said, now I can pick everything up. I don't want to hear anything on it.
Exactly. I mean, I have the CC2E.
Yeah.
And I love it. But when I hit scan, I go, I hear a program. Then it scans and I hear a program.
Yeah.
Then it scans and I hear the same program. I know.
And sadly, it's really true, but it used to be, every station used to have something original. As I've said many times, KAAY made me think that Little Rock was the big time. So, that's truly theater of the mind.
I've been looking at the SSB.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, for a single sideband. Yes, or as John thought I was saying, suicide sideband.
But is it worth? There's nothing on shortwave anymore.
Right.
I use the DX all the time.
Exactly. I'll be honest with you. The thrill now is picking up things that are novel that you've never picked up before, just because you can. But as far as what's on it, no, I can't tell you that you're going to hear anything on it that is going to be compelling.
Because I have a CC radio. What, you remember the one they had about 20 years ago that was the 4-band shortwave?
Oh yeah, I think I may still have that.
I have one, but it cuts out. It'll be going along, and it'll cut out, and you got to take all four batteries, or take the batteries out, put them back in, and then it'll run for another couple hours.
I
went to the 2E, but it is it worth even having shortwave? Because even after you, I listen to WBEZ has Voice of London,
mm-hmm.
and at night. But I used to listen to that on my shortwave. Well, I don't need my shortwave anymore. I can listen to that on my phone.
Right. I don't know what's out there. For a while, a couple of shortwave stations were carrying my show when I was doing it in the past. But I don't know. I know my buddy Melody Cederstrom from Discount Gold and Silver Trading. She has a show that I think is still on shortwave. I'll have to look at that. I'll look for stuff, and I'll let you know.
But, I mean, I built my first shortwave when I was in eighth grade, and I used to listen to, in the 60s, I listened to Voice of Cuba was on at 9 in English, then Moscow was on at 10 in English. And then you could get the BBC out of London. You could actually get English.
Oh, you could. And, of course, you could get a preacher from anywhere in the world.
But
an occasion.
Especially when it was in Mexico.
Right.
When it was in Mexico broadcasting to Canada.
Right, exactly.
They'd blow the radio off the table.
No, occasionally you'd find, Melody still is on shortwave, on WWCR and on BCQ. So I'll have to find out what else is going on. I think Wendy Wilson, she does an apothecary herb show as well. So other than that, I'm not sure. But no, probably not.
You know.
Yeah.
I still DX with the 2E, but, you know, there's just not that much other.
I know.
But anyway, I just really wanted to bring up to people, some of the older people and people who aren't familiar with it. All you got to do is go to YouTube. Talk in the program you want to see or listen to. And like I said, you put in Jack Benny, there'll be 500 of them.
Well, even if you just put in old-time radio, it'll be there. So sure, there's tons of things to listen to. I agree with you. All right, well, thanks for calling, Bruce. Did Bruce leave us? Have we lost Bruce? I think we lost. Well, I guess it's the Lord's way of telling me it's time to play commercials on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Mr. Ackerbilk with the Leon Young Chorale, in case you were wondering. Atco Records, 1962, Stranger on the Shore. We played it before, but Rita in Harwood Heights wanted to hear it again, and so she did. She had a couple of requests, too. We tried to make sense out of some of them, the crossword puzzle she was working on, but probably didn't, but we'll give you some of what we've got, and we'll play your requests as well. Now, got a couple minutes left this hour, and we'll kick it off with Carl in Riverside. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Carl. We've lost Carl. Carl was going to talk about Sergio Mendes, which is always a great subject. I would love to do that. So I'm sure this will continue through the news, but we'll start now by wishing Fran a happy birthday. How'd you celebrate today? Fran. Oh, no. This is not good. All right. We're not hearing Fran. Great. Just great. Well, we'll put Fran on hold. I'm not 100% sure what I've done wrong now. And see about James on the south side. Are you there, James? No. And James hangs on, too. So I have no idea what just happened to the phones. What I'm going to do is take the opportunity to reboot the ATA during the during the news. I assume that I am still on WGN, but I don't swear to that either. Maybe I've just lost internet. All right, so I'll check that out too. Why not, right? And it seems like I've got the internet, so that's part of the story. All right, so now we just have to find out. Oh, and a nice ping time too. Oh, this is actually very nice. All right, surprisingly, surprised myself with that, but I'll have to see why we've lost everything. And it's good that the news is coming up in moments here, but let me just check the WGN connection to see if I didn't screw that up. But I don't think so. No, we are connected. All right, so that's wonderful. So we'll have more requests from Rita in Harwood that we try to figure out, and a few for we played one already for Johnny D, but there's another one coming up and stuff like that. So on that note, we will mosey on over to the ATA and try to figure out where the phones went, and hopefully we will talk to you, or else I'll be talking to myself for 2 hours with maybe you listening on WGN Radio.
I'm in my imagination. I'm in my imagination. Imagination. Give me my imagination. Imagination is crazy. Your perspective gets hazy. Starts you asking a daisy what to do, what to do. Give me my imagination. Give me my imagination. Ever felt a sweet caress and then a kiss and then find it's only your imagination?
Oh yes, I've sometimes felt a sweet caress and then
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, certainly not the imagination that Rita from Harwood Heights had in mind, but it was the first one I found. It was a lot of fun anyway. Believe it or not, it was on Verve. You normally don't think about things that sounded quite like that on Verve, but it was in 1961. And the quotations were the group, and the quotations were four Jewish guys from Brooklyn, Larry Kasman and Richie Schwartz and Lou Arno and Murray Hershkowitz. I have no idea what happened to them. They were married, managed by Helen Miller, who was a songwriter of note at the time, and they took their name from one of the demo songs that they had cut, Quotations of Love. So there they are, the Quotations. That's sort of a medley of their doo-wop hit. But I was going to play the Doris Day Imagination for Rita in Harwood Heights, but it wasn't handy. And at this point, I'll be talking to you for the next 2 hours, and I should have prepared what we might discuss here, since I'm not going to get any calls from you because you may dial, but I'm not going to receive. And this is absolutely not at my end. Of course, the first thing I thought is that it was. So I spent the 9 minutes of the news and commercials changing ATAs and all that. Well, I did change the ATAs. Those are the interfaces, by the way, that let VoIP phones work. But in any event, it didn't matter. And then I delved a little further and realized it was a system-wide failure, and it's not at my end. So the likelihood that this will resolve in the next 2 hours is somewhere near nil. But during the next break, I'll put in yet another ATA, and just, you know, because it'll allow me to think that I'm actually doing something. But in the meantime, thanks to James, we have a number of stories. The first one that crossed my mind was more proof that criminals as a group are not necessarily among those with high intellect. All right, cleaned that up in a hurry. All right, a guy dropped a receipt with his name on it while he was mugging a woman. Gee, he wasn't too hard to find. And this is Chicago. He's facing robbery charges for allegedly mugging a woman. She was taking out her trash. And how they found him, and Carlos Arredondo, 27, how they found him was a receipt that he dropped at the crime scene with his name on it. He's got a long history of committing robberies and just recently was discharged from parole. So here was a 21-year-old woman taking out her garbage in the alley on West 24th Street, about 6:30, so not late at night. And so here he comes, and he punches her in the face, took two gold chains and medallions from her neck. And meanwhile, the gal's mother, her 49-year-old mother, saw what was happening, and she tried to intervene. But Arredondo had an accomplice who punched mom in the face and stole her necklace, too, according to a detention petition. So then they allegedly jumped in a car and drove away. But, as I say, here's the receipt. And what did it fall from? It fell from the getaway car. And that's how they discovered not only who it was, but similar crimes committed by a similar vehicle, which they were easily able to trace to the accomplice. And so apparently, so far in court records, it's only Arredondo being charged, but I guess we will see. He was sentenced to a pair of concurrent 7-year prison sentences in 2018 for robberies. He got a 3-year sentence for being a felon in possession of a firearm in 2023, but somehow he was out on parole and theoretically just finished parole. But there you have stupid criminals of the moment. That's pretty out there. Then we have the armed robbery of a U.S. mail carrier in Newark, as a couple individuals are charged in that. The armed robbery of a postal service carrier, we assume the truck, and this goes back to November, but they were just convicted. They robbed the mail carrier at gunpoint, stole the master postal key used to access the mail receptacles. And, you know, sure, in those mail receptacles, there are going to be packages, and maybe something will be in those packages, but for the most part, most of what I would think you would get from robbing the postal carrier is something that you could not negotiate, assuming there were checks in it. But nonetheless, that's the deal. The perpetrator approached a USPS carrier while she was inside her vehicle in Newark, and displayed a firearm and demanded, "Give me your arrow key," the master key that allows you access to the multiple mailboxes and receptacles. But again, I'm not 100% sure what exactly you get for that. And apparently, in this case, you get jail time. All right. So what else do we have? Well, let's take a look at what's going on at this day. Of course, it is the first full day of Rosh Hashanah. So again, Shana Tova to our Jewish friends. It's also a Hindu holiday today. Navratri. I'll have to read about that. Tomorrow, it's the Feast of St. Francis de Assisi. Absolutely. And it's also World Smile Day, the first Friday of October, and Taco Day. I should have known that because I have seen online that your basic Taco Johns and Taco Bells and all those are having some observance. So there might be a free taco in it for you if you look hard enough. All right. But you might have to buy something like a soda. And any more, boy, isn't that costly. Yeah, I tell you what, you know, we talk about inflation, and of course it hits home when you look at prices of things you're used to buying. And for me this week, it was insurance, car insurance, which literally doubled for absolutely no good reason. You know, I'm already old and I don't have any accidents or problems or any new vehicles, but they doubled the price anyway. So that was the shock of the week. But a few weeks ago, what really blew me away was when I went somewhere to a mid-price restaurant and the sodas were like $4.99. Like what? How long ago has it been that the entire meal wouldn't be $4.99? But there you have the reality of inflation. So anyway, a big happy birthday to Fran, and she's celebrating it, and we're glad to be able to say that. We'd like to be there with her, or at least on the phone. But that's not going to happen. I will again try in a little while to see what we can do to see if we have. A couple Dixie cups and we'll give you a string. All right, so what else? Several other things, including all this wonderful show prep that Carol does for me. And that this gives me time to look over some of it. Oh, Chubby Checker turned 83 today. Well, Lazy Elsie Molly. All right, one of his songs. He was born in Spring Gully, South Carolina, but he grew up in South Philadelphia and was working at a fish market in South Philadelphia when he was quote-unquote discovered. Because they could clean him up nice and have him look good on bandstand. That's literally it. although from all accounts, he's a right nice guy. And the originator of the twist, of course, Hank Ballard, eventually got his due. So Eddie Cochran would have turned 86 today. Whoa, it's hard to believe. Born in 1938 in Minnesota and grew up in Bell Gardens, California. And such a future in terms of rock and roll he had ahead of him, but died in a car crash after a show in Great Britain. And we've talked about before his fiance, Sharon Sheely, who wrote Poor Little Fool and others, survived. Tyrone Davis would be 87 today. Yep, born in 1937 in Greenville, Mississippi. And his father moved the family to Saginaw. When he turned 21, he headed on over to Chicago, got work with Freddie King, valet and chauffeur, and sung in a number of nightclubs. And then Carl Davis picked him up for Dacco Records and had him change his name from Fetson to Davis. Yeah, well, after all, it was Carl Davis. Why not name him after you? And it's better than Fetson anyway. Sadly, had a stroke in 2004. Died in 2005, 67 years old. And we played Rene Herrera earlier, Angelito, and Lo Mucho Que Quiero. All right, yes, How Much I Love You. There you go. Freddie Jackson turned 68 yesterday, born in 1956 in Harlem. And, of course, had 80s hits, You Are My Lady and others. Let's see, Ronnie Laws, 74 today, born 1950 in Houston. Yeah, saxophonist, smooth, played with Hugh Masekela and Earth, Wind, and Fire and Ramsey Lewis and the Crusaders and, you know, a lot of studio work. So how about that? As far as I know, he is absolutely still with us. Don't know if he's still active, but still with us. Groucho Marx today. Yesterday, I'm sorry. Now, birth anniversary, because he would be quite old. He was born in 1890, and he wanted to be a doctor, but money stood in the way, so instead he followed his uncle into vaudeville, and his mother was the perfect stage mother, hence the Marx Brothers. And, of course, You Bet Your Life debuted this month on radio. Speaking of radio shows, and you can probably hear them all on YouTube as far as that goes, 1947 on ABC Radio, moved to CBS and then NBC, and it was on the radio from 47 to 1950, and then television throughout the 50s. I think it ended in 1961, television only. But he died in 1977 at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles, just 3 days after Elvis's death. So this is one where, you know, if you want coverage, you need to die on a slow news day. If a lot of other things are happening, well, by golly, you're not going to get the headlines. And indeed, Elvis grabbed them all. But something tells me that Groucho, whose given name was Julius, by the way, Mama did not name him Groucho. Julius probably was just as relieved. Robbie Neville turned 66 yesterday. C'est la vie. Yeah, I got to play that. That's a great record. But that's it. Really, he was born in Los Angeles in 1958, and as far as that, I'd say C'est la vie is really his claim to fame, and I expected more. Alan O'Day would have turned 84 today, born in Hollywood in 1940. Undercover Angel was his big hit, and he also wrote Rock and Roll Heaven, though, for the Righteous Brothers, and Angie Baby for Helen Reddy. All right, well, how about that? Died 2013, had brain cancer, 72 years old. And Stevie Ray Vaughan, speaking of Austin, would have been 70 this week, today, born in 1954 in Dallas. Died in 1990 in East Troy, Wisconsin, in a helicopter crash after a show at the Alpine Valley Music Theater, which was sad. He was only 35 years old. Yeah. So what else do we have? Oh, Lolly Vegas was born on this date in 1939. So he would have been about 85 today. He was in Redbone with his brother Pat. And of course, you know, Come and Get Your Love, big hit, but also Witch Queen of New Orleans and Maggie. And sadly, he had a stroke in 1995. And then took him about 5 years to die, though. It was not a good 5 years. He was in Reseda when he died in 2010 from lung cancer, actually, the official declaration, and he was 70. So on this date in 1945, that's right, 45, Elvis Presley made his first appearance, obviously as a child, at 10 years old, at a talent show at the Mississippi-Alabama Dairy Show, and he was singing Old Shep. He came in fifth. All right, so also on this date, 9 years later, 1954, he made his one and only appearance at the Grand Ole Opry, singing Blue Moon of Kentucky, and his performance received a tepid response. The Opry manager, and this is exactly as you'd expect, said, he isn't quite Opry material. Yeah, they would have thought that. But ultimately, as he became successful, he would have been able to be a member of the Opry anyway, because a lot of people don't know this, but if you're asked to join the Opry, you are required to do 3 appearances a year. At least that's what it used to be. It probably still is, at scale. And, of course, it's a Saturday night show for performers that are quite busy and making throngs more than that. It's a reach. So there are several people who didn't join just because they couldn't afford the financials of it. And then there were people like Elvis who just wasn't asked. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We'll try yet another ATA, and I'll probably come back just talking to you on WGN Radio.
Fall in love, a guy with a pin to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble. I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. What do you get when you kiss a guy? You get enough germs to catch pneumonia. After you do, he'll never phone you. I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. Don't tell me what it's all about, 'cause I've been there and I'm glad I'm out. Out of those chains that bind you. That is why I'm here to remind you. What do you get when you fall in love? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least until tomorrow, I'll never fall in love again. I'll never fall in love again. Get it all broken up and shattered. That's what you get, a heart that's battered. I'll never fall in love again.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And well, Rita from Harwood had mentioned I'll Never Fall in Love Again. We weren't 100% sure. We were able to find something by Johnny Ray from the 50s that she didn't want to hear, I'm sure. And then I thought, well, everybody's done I'll Never Fall in Love Again from, you know, Tom Jones and Dionne Warwick. But why not play it by somebody who probably haven't heard it? Liz Anderson. And maybe you don't even know about Liz. Liz was Lynn's mother. And yeah, she had Lynn when she was about 17 years old. She got married at 16. But in any event, she was quite the songwriter early on. And then she was nominated for a Grammy in 65 for Mama Spank. But few people remember Liz. And she did have an interesting life all the way around. And of course, begat Lynn, who became a big hippo. What was interesting is Lynn was already well into her career when Liz put out I'll Never Fall in Love Again. It is time for the news. In fact, the news is on now. I'm talking to myself. All right, well, we'll go back to trying to figure out what's going on with the phones.
I hear the neon lights are bright on Broadway. I hear the dreams come true there every day.
I hear the life don't get you down the way it gets.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So Johnny D wanted to hear on Broadway, and I just can't play anything I want. So I decided to use the Cookies, because their version doesn't come up very often. On Dimension, and I think it's on a couple albums that have been released more recently, but at the time I don't think they did anything with it. But of course that was Donnie Kirshner, who was the publisher, and Carole King and Jerry Goffin, who wrote it, were clearly a part of the family, and so the Cookies assigned it. In addition, of course, the Drifters had the hit, and then in the 70s, 77, George Benson came back and had a, 76 I guess, had a big hit. So that's the deal with the Cookies. So in any event, the phones are down, and it's not at my end. It's a system failure at the provider. So there's probably nothing I can do about this, and I've tried everything I can, but you know, it's one of those hopeless feelings, because when it's not in your control, there's not much you can do to fix it. And of course that would have to happen halfway through the first hour of the show. So and of course, rather than come up with a number of wonderful things to talk to you about, I was busy trying to fix the phones. So with that in mind, I'll just prattle along and see if we can say anything of interest somewhere. Yeah, I was playing Liz Anderson before, and realized that the news had already talking and started, and I was still talking. No need for that. So Liz was interesting, but her daughter now, sadly, Lynn is deceased as well. She died in 2015, and Liz passed in 2011. But Lynn was quite the thing on Music Row. She was married to Glenn Sutton, and who was a producer. He did a lot of things with Billy Sherrill. He was a producer at Columbia. In any event, she was not the most faithful spouse, we'll say. And I discovered it firsthand. I might have told you this story. I don't know. But I was working on the Epic side of the building, and one day I was out in the lobby actually talking to the receptionist about something or other, and in runs Tommy Cash, who was on the label, runs into the Columbia side of the building. And next thing I hear, there's glass breaking. He has taken his fist and punched it through Lynn Anderson's picture. And then he comes out, literally he's dripping in blood. And I think, well, thank God it's a red carpet. And what's that? And I remember the gal who was the secretary over at Columbia, Judy Ray. I loved her. She's great. She said, well, you see, and it was pretty obvious that apparently Lynn and Tommy had a moment or two, and Tommy was serious and Lynn was having a good time, hence the damage to the wall. But Nashville was like that. It was truly Sodom and Gomorrah all the way around. You know, people talk about Hollywood or whatever. Trust me, none of these places have a thing on Nashville. Yeah, this everybody was doing something with everybody. There were few exceptions, and there were few, of course. So there were some, but for the most part, I used to say it seemed like it was caste system. The guys would have a wife, a mistress, and a girlfriend. And then next thing you know, the wife would be out of the picture, and the mistress would move up to the wife, and the girlfriend would become the mistress, and there's a new girlfriend. And I'm pretty sure that Larry Butler went through 9 of those while I was there. But that may be an exaggeration, but not by much. So at least it was always an interesting time when I wouldn't be on the road promoting records. Yeah, so that was fun. I got no stories about the Cookies, as far as that goes, other than really two different groups. The group that did Girls Grow Up Faster Than Boys Do, and on Broadway and all that. Actually, I do have a story now that I think about it. Yes, the lead singer was Earl Jean. Oh, boy, do I have a story. Yeah, you probably know about this, however. Well, apparently, you know, Carole King was married to Jerry Goffin, but apparently Jerry and Earl Jean got to know each other in the biblical sense, and a child was begotten. And from what I understand is that Carole, who rarely made it in New York, she did all her writing from home in New Jersey, where they had a place and a child and all that. But from what I understand, she occasionally had to be the babysitter. So I have no idea. And I'll tell you, that's one of those that I've looked forever, because I'm pretty sure that Earl Jean McCrae was married at the time. She was Earl Jean Revis. Now, what I've never been able to find out, and believe me, I've looked, is what did Mr. Revis think about this? And couldn't find anything about that. Yeah, you know, the soap opera in me loves this kind of stuff, right? So the deal was that I never did find out what Mr. Rivas thought, or what happened to him, or what was the deal. His name was Grant Rivas, and they were married in 1960. And as far as I know, they had a child between the two of them, you know, within marriage. And then next thing you know, here is this other offspring courtesy of Jerry Goffin. And what on earth did Grant Rivas think? I don't know. I've tried to find out. Never had anybody who could fill me in. And believe me, I've asked. And But as I was mentioning, there were two groups of the Cookies originally. Earl Jean's older sister, Darlene McCrae, and the other original members of the Cookies formed in 1954. And they actually evolved into the Raelettes for Ray Charles. So in 61, Earl Jean was persuaded to join the new rendition of the Cookies. And so it was that they were signed to Dimension, which was the label that Nonnie Kirshner owned. And again, Goffin and King were writers for his publishing company. And of course, the first thing they came out with that hit was Don't Say Nothing Bad About My Baby. And then Chains, which of course was covered by the Beatles. And then Earl Jean left the Cookies, and she was on Colpix for a while. And in fact, she recorded the original I'm Into Something Good, yeah, that Herman's Hermits would later redo, and that was another Goffin King record. So I think that got to about number 38 on the U.S. charts, but didn't get much airplay. But same year, like months later, here comes Herman's Hermits, and they topped the chart. And she put out some things after that that didn't hit, and so she later was an early education specialist and had a daycare center. I don't know what happened to her, but what I really don't know is what happened to Grant Rivas. So if you know, by all means, on a night when we do have phones, tell me that, because it's one of those questions where I've thought, he couldn't have been happy about this, could he? Yeah, so that is the deal about Jeannie Rivas. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, oh, this is interesting. While I am talking to you, I am looking, and no, this can't be Grant. I'm looking at somebody. I'm looking at him saying, no, this isn't him. All right, never mind. I didn't find him after all. You know what I have found, though? It is now time. I know it's the moment you've been waiting for. It is time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Ah, it's my turn again. All right, well, I can do that. I think we might have raised somebody at the home office of the mainframe here. But in the meantime, how about a little Prince Buster?
Oh, great Caesar, could you kindly let Cleopatra dance this dance? Dance, Cleopatra, dance! Dance, dance, Cleopatra, dance!
All right, John just got through to the mainframe. I thought, well, at least it answered. And while I was trying to walk him through what he needed to say, I looked up and saw someone's calling, and I think it's actually Jim. So, all right. But that's Dance Cleopatra Dance, and that was actually a request for John. He wanted to hear that. Why not? Prince Buster was an interesting guy. He was Jamaican. And he was a songwriter and producer who was real big at reggae and all that kind of stuff, born in Kingston. And he appeared as part of like early rock and roll troupes, a dance troupe that did Frankie Lyman stuff and all that kind of stuff. But his real interest was running the sound systems. And that's how he was introduced to Clement Dodd, who was a businessman who was operating some of the most popular locations for music and stuff like that. And so Campbell goes to work for him, doing everything from security to you name it, and ultimately getting to select music for the clubs. And so from that, he decided, I'm starting my own. I'm starting Voice of the People. And so he put together a sound system and got a location, and ultimately decided he was going to record his own music. And his problem was he knew that he was not really able to personally source a lot of the music he wanted, particularly stuff from the U.S. So he said, well, I'll just record my own. And so he did a number of things that that you probably never heard in your life. But when he did Dance Cleopatra Dance, I'd played it for John, and he just adored it. And he said, oh, you got to add that. And earlier tonight, he said, well, if you can't talk to anybody, at least play Dance Cleopatra Dance. And so I did. He moved to Miami for a while. He was running a jukebox company. And then I think around 73 or so, he stopped recording himself, but continued to record other people and all that, and that was the deal. And there were a number of other things along the way too. But he was awarded an Order of Distinction by the Jamaican government along the way, and performed in all sorts of ska festivals and that kind of stuff. Died in 2016 in Miami, had heart problems, and had been in poor health for some time. He had a series of strokes, and I think he'd been unable to walk since about 2019. But nonetheless, he did come up with Dance Cleopatra Dance, and it's John's favorite. All right, so with that in mind, I believe that we have phones back. I don't know what went wrong, but it is back. All right, so Brian in Seneca, let's see. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you there?
Yes, I'm hearing it. Sounds just like it always does when it's working, complete with the fizz right before the microphone turns on.
No, that part is going to be. That's at my end. That part is fine, but the mainframe was down.
I'm including that because it seems that everybody who calls into a radio talk show and everywhere, they don't realize that the fizz means you're up.
Well, yeah, that's not what it means, but effectively they are up, yes. Yes, and that's Telos's algorithm, yeah. All right, so here you are.
Okay, and the person I was calling about tonight is on YouTube, and their name is Peter Dibble.
Okay.
P-E-T-E-R, and Dibble is spelled D-I-B-B-L-E.
Yeah.
And if you go to YouTube and search, he's got a bunch of wonderful documentaries. I'm looking at his current page, 4, 8, 12, 16, 20. He's got 23 of them up right now, and they're all wonderful.
Yeah, or things like Oregon's Disneyland, or, yeah, after Troubled Waters. So a lot of Oregon stuff.
Yes, and a few things that are kind of Oregon, but kind of everyone, too. Do like the first race across the continent.
Yeah, America's first cross-country
motor
race.
Works.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
And I mention them because the guy's only got 69,000 subscribers, and his typical viewership is not... You know, some of his better ones go up to about 960,000 views, but this stuff is almost good enough that if I was running a less honest public television station, I could put one of these on the editing board in about 5 minutes to cut in for subscribe to my channel.
Yeah, all right, right. Yeah, obscure.
Pretend that I bought it from
Obscure History from the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, so just go to Peter Dibble, and there's 23 videos up there, and including Fact or Fiction, How the Great Meteorite Mystery Was Solved.
Yeah, that one, and one of the biggest ones where even I learned a little something extra was the documentary he did on the Freedom Train. Because I'm more aware than most other people, but until watching his documentary, I didn't know, or at least I'm 98% plus got they had a Freedom Train right after World War II, where they put a modern locomotive on the end of a modern mm-hmm. train in the late 40s and toured with copies of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and other similar stuff, and they ran all over the United States. With the exception of Memphis and Birmingham, Alabama, which for reasons of their not being able to get rid of unsightly habits from 100 years previous, train just kept rolling.
All right. Interesting stuff. Good tip. You've ended the hour. Thank you for calling.
And thank you, and hopefully the phones keep behaving.
Let's hope. Thanks. I really appreciate it. All right. So nice to hear from Brian. And we'll talk to, we got David, we got James, we got Fran back. Okay, we were trying to talk to Fran and Jim in Richmond. And we'll take it from there next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I promised I'd play something with Donny Hathaway since it would have been his birthday this week. He would have turned 79 on Tuesday, and what a loss that was. Yeah, suicide? I don't know, but dead, unfortunately, on that, I'm sure. January 13th, 1979, New York City. 33 years old. And yeah, You Are My Heaven, I think that probably my favorite. He and Roberta Flack on that. Just a terrific song. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, we're getting back to yesterday's birthday girl, Fran, in a second here, but Jim in Richmond wanted to wish her a happy birthday. So all right, Jim, you're up. Are you there, Jim? Oh, don't even start. No, Jim, are you there? Uh-oh. Oh, no, this better not be right. All right, we're going to try for Fran. Fran, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, thank God. Thank
here,
God.
Here, loud and clear.
Oh, God, because I was thinking, not another hour. Man, oh, man.
I was sitting there, and I had the show on my, I have these little sleep phones that kind of go around my head, but I had them kind of tucked under my leg, and I could still kind of hear the show
yeah.
coming through those. But there was no, I know that when you're not in Globe, the
yeah, you
show
don't,
doesn't come, you
yeah.
know, but I can hear it a little bit. And then I wasn't hearing anything, and I thought, I wonder if I got hung up on. But anyway.
Oh, man, no. And you
then
know,
when I called back, it just hung. It wouldn't even connect.
Right.
It would just, like, sit there like I was waiting for me to dial another number.
Exactly. And,
yeah,
you know, the first thing I thought, of course, I blame everything on myself, and I think, oh, ATA is down, so I grab another ATA because I have spares for these purposes, and, you know, rewire the whole damn thing in 30 seconds, and you realize, yes, I've got it straight. All right, this should work, and it didn't. Nothing.
Yeah,
so,
actually, that happens, and it's not your fault.
Right, exactly. And so I've got over a dozen lines, so I pulled other ATAs that are not for this purpose and had the same problem. And just like you, I try to dial into them and sorry, it's just going to hang. So that's when
right.
I realized to my shock and horror that the entire system was down.
It's just human nature, I think, because I usually say that if something goes wrong, I'm like, okay, what did I do?
Exactly.
How did I break this?
Exactly.
And sometimes I had absolutely nothing to do with it. Well, my birthday started out to be the birthday from hell.
Well, yeah, the precursor was Social Security.
Well, it got worse.
Oh, no, what happened?
Well, okay, I knew that I wasn't going to get my I get two checks. I get an SSI check and an SSDI check because I didn't work enough quarters to get enough disability, so I get a supplemental.
Right.
So this morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, usually Gary and I call in to make sure that our checks are in, and Gary's check is in, so I'm thinking mine should be in.
And it's not.
Wrong.
Yeah.
I was only told about the SSI. I was not told about the SSDI.
Right.
So, of course, this is 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't call Social Security until 7 my time.
Right.
So, in the meantime, we're saying, well, maybe it's just because sometimes they don't come in at the same time. You know, we're trying to think of anything. Well, it's just a little late. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they come in after 5. Mm-mm. So, you know, I'm trying not to, but I'm calling my bank like every 10 minutes.
Yeah, right, of course. Of course, yes, the telebank. You've got the number memorized. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I can just dial the, you know, without even thinking about it, I can dial my, code.
Right.
And it's just over and over. I can't, and I said, I know it's ridiculous for me to do this. This is the definition of crazy, to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But it's just like, how you feel like you've got to do something.
Yes, yes. And after all, it's going to be 3 hours before you can call him. You might do something, so sure.
And, I tried to read. I tried to listen to something. I couldn't concentrate on it.
No.
All I was thinking of, what did I do? What did they, did they investigate me and find out, think they got something weird or, what's going on here?
Right, I'm going to have to prove I'm not a terrorist.
Yeah, exactly. Something, I don't know. Or, they think I've got, 5 cents too much money or who knows what. And, what they expect you to live on is ridiculous as it is. But, and then, I'm just going all out doing a full worrying thing, thinking the worst, what's going to happen? No, And I'm not a very religious person, but even I started going, please God. So anyway, the upshot, I called this morning, and I guess because of the fact that I didn't get those letters wanting me to do the review, they cut off both of them, but I didn't know that. They only said they cut off the SSI.
Mm-hmm.
So, supposedly, and I will not rest easy until this happens, but supposedly I'm going to get my checks by the end of next week.
Next week. All right, so it's not this week. It's next.
Because she said by the end of the week, and I said, so tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because today is Thursday, so... Right. So I said, so I should get my checks tomorrow? Oh, no, ma'am, it will be probably the end of next week. I said, okay. I mean, I'm okay. We're not...
Right. Right. You're okay as long as you get them. No, I understand this fully.
Yeah, as long as I get them. And, right now, it's not like I'm, I've got the rent. We've got the rent paid and, Gary's got some money. We can buy groceries. And this affects so many things because it affects my food stamps.
Of course it does.
It affects my medical. It affects everything.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
So it's not just a matter of the money, which, of course, is a big deal, but it just affects so many things. And, I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and I'm like, I'm not sure if I should keep it or not, because right now, at this moment, I probably don't have insurance.
Well, let me ask you this. With the food stamps, does that renew on a debit card every month?
Yes.
Did it?
And
month.
The letter said.
Never mind the letter. You looking at the? Can you look at the balance on the card to know whether the food stamps renewed on the 1st?
Yeah, I'm going to check on that. I can't. They renew on the 5th, so I have to wait.
Oh,
until the
2 days. Yep,
2
days. You do absolutely. Yeah, that'll tell you something. I know exactly how you feel. I don't know about the doctor. I mean, I would assume it would be fine, but I don't know that I'd trust it.
You know, if it was just, I initially had made the appointment to get my nails cut, which I can easily put that off.
Yes.
But I've been having some pain in my feet, so I wanted to talk to him about that before it gets any worse.
Well,
so,
I don't know. I think on something like that, I think I might wait so I wasn't going through the hell of having to deal with it if there's an issue.
You know, that's a good idea. I already confirmed the appointment, but I can always do something.
Yeah, call them. And, you can also tell them, say, hey, here's the deal. They were screwing around with SSI, and I don't know right now that Medicaid will cover it. Or you can just say nothing and just say, I need to reschedule.
Yeah.
And just,
I'll do that if I'm going to have trouble rescheduling. Usually my thought is, tell them just what they need to know, unless they need to know something else.
Well, right. But, so then I've got to reschedule. It's become an emergency situation, and you have to tell them what it is.
No.
And that's it.
But,
so, yeah,
you know,
that'll be...
If they seem to have a problem with it, then I'll tell them what it is.
Right. Absolutely. That's the way to handle it. I agree with you on that. I doubt they'll have a problem with it. But if they do, yeah, you're right. That's what you'll tell them. And that way, if this were something where it was really medically where I was thinking, oh, my God, you have to have this looked at right now, I'd say the hell with it. Worry about it later. But on something like this, it's not worth going into, bureaucratic hell.
Right. It does take a long time to get another appointment there, and I would like to find out about the pain in my feet.
Well,
I am diabetic. So.
In that case, you could, then we're talking about giving them a little more information. You could discuss it with them and say, hey, here's my situation. Should I come in or not? You know.
So.
Oh, man. This is
what happens. I don't know. I'll most likely go in because I've got the ride and everything.
They may be able to verify whether it's in effect.
Oh, okay.
Because with computerization these days, because usually when you give them your Medicare card and your supplemental or whatever you've got, they verify it at their end. So they're doing something. So maybe they can check that before you worry about any of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So with that in mind, you may just call and say, hey, before I come, I need to verify that the insurance is in effect.
Right.
And if they say, well, we can't, they say, then I've got a problem. And then you can explain it.
Yeah. Although my ride is earlier than the office opens.
Oh,
so,
well, you can go.
It's one of those things where I don't want to take an Uber or Lyft. Ordinarily, I would say, well, I'll cancel my ride and take an Uber or Lyft. But, we have money, but I don't want to be putting it on Uber and Lyft right now.
No, understood. Well, so, all right, so you're going to go either way. But before you sign in for treatment, tell them what the deal is. Ask them to confirm it.
Yeah, because I can just wait for my bus.
Yes.
I can sit there and read just as well there.
That's exactly right. But yeah, that's what I do. I put it on them.
Yeah, okay. And but the good part, Saturday night, we are going to go. Gary's taking me to this restaurant to see. I've seen them once before, and I really like them. The Therapy Sisters, I don't know if you've heard of them. Dr. Demento played them quite a bit.
Yeah. No, that's great.
One of my favorite ones that they did is around Christmas time. They have that song, Happy Whatever You're Having.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to go and see them. And,
that'll be a lot of fun.
They have good food and good music. And so.
Good.
Gary said, I don't care about your SSI. We're going.
Absolutely. No, that's terrific. As well you should. That'll be a great time.
It's still your birthday,
Well, and if anything else, you should be able to write it off as medical because it is therapy.
That's right. It's the Therapy Sisters.
I mean, they started out that way. It was a musical self-help effort that became an addiction.
It's musical group therapy.
Yeah, so there it is. Yeah, it sounds like a write-off to me.
And I got a couple of birthday requests. I don't know if you'll be able to get them in because I know it's late. But Foolish Little Girl.
Okay.
And I'll Take You Home. The Drifters.
Okay.
And Sleep.
Sleep, Blue Willie John?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
if you don't get them on tonight,
I will try to get them all. We'll see how I do.
Okay. Great.
All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. So, 888-876-5593. Ah, Jim called back, so I'm sure that Fran will keep listening, and Jim can wish her happy birthday on the phone. And we got David and Jeff and James and phones. Amazing. Just amazing. The phones are working. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
You broke his heart and made him cry, and he's been blue since then. Now he's found somebody new, and you want him back again.
Do this little girl, fickle little girl. You didn't want him when he wanted you. He's found another love, it's her he's dreaming of, and there's not a single thing that you can do.
James, enjoying that just a little too much, I guess. Yes, Foolish Little Girl, the Shirelles, 1963 on Scepter. Yeah, one of my all-time faves, actually. All right, so got a minute or so before the news, and Jim has called back. All right, Jim, so there you are.
Thank you for taking my call, Raleigh.
Always.
What did she say was her problem? Circulation to her feet?
I'm not 100% sure, just pain at this point. I don't think she knows why.
Okay, because I've had several tests where they put, bags across my legs to find out what, to see what was going on with my feet.
Right.
But I just wanted to say, number one, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you for worrying about me.
You betcha.
But number two, I'm thinking that she should look into finding out her circulation to her feet. That's what I'm worried about.
Hopefully, that's a real good idea, and I know exactly why, but hopefully they'll take her pedal pulse immediately and look at some other things, and she'll report back to us. But yes, you're absolutely right.
Right, and I wanted to say other things because I am totally out of sleep right now.
Oh, no.
And I wanted to say a few more other things, but I really appreciate how she's worried about me. And can I say I'm worried about her?
Absolutely. And we're going to go to the news right about now. Stay where you are, because Bob cuts me off. He doesn't give me a second. All right, so hang on. We'll pick it up there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there it is. 2 out of 3, Little John Sleep, 1960 on King. And back to Jim in Richmond. And you were saying?
Yes. I don't remember what I was talking about, but I have some requests. Could you please play a song that she, because it's her birthday today, can you play a song that she would love and dedicate it from me?
All right. We'll do that next.
Next week.
Oh, next week? Okay, well, I was thinking I'll play the third one here that she wants.
You can do it today.
Okay.
That would be great.
Yeah. All right.
And I don't know what else to say because I'm totally exhausted.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep, and hopefully you'll get there. Sure. Hopefully you'll get to the event tomorrow.
I'm hoping.
All right.
And everyone, have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And so I was trying to talk to Carl in Riverside when I lost the phones entirely, and he's back on WGN Radio. So, hey, Carl.
Hey, is this live or is this Memorex?
Both.
I think it was about 10:45, and all of a sudden things went haywire.
Oh, it was 10:30. No, I know. Absolutely. Yes, it was not good.
And then I called back about 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
I fell asleep.
Yeah. Oh.
And I just woke up a little while ago. I had this feeling. I said, you know what? I'm going to give this one more shot.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah, good. I'm glad. Hey, how about that? That's certainly persistence. So what are we talking about?
Hey, well, I was just curious originally, were you ever into Sergio Mendez?
Oh, very much so. Not his stuff for America use, but his early stuff especially, the Sergio Mendez Trio and Dance Moderno and all the stuff he did, Swinger from Rio, you know, those albums. And the only thing on A&M I like is I love that Equinox album. I think it's the best ever. And so, yeah, there's probably 50 Sergio Mendez songs that I truly love, and I play them fairly often, but believe me, they've not been on the radio in America.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And you remember Lanny Hall, who she
got
married to, right?
Herb Alpert, I know that. And Sergio Mendez got really upset. He left the label for a few years and went to Elektra. But anyway, that's a long soap opera. But apart from that, of course, earlier, his gal singer was Wanda de Sá, who was just tremendous. But she had a husband in Rio, and he didn't want traveling anymore. So Wanda de Sá left. But the early stuff, it's Wanda.
Yeah, and I'm not that familiar with the early stuff. I think, and I did like them a lot. I think I first discovered them with, Sergio Mendez in Brazil 66.
Right, which is when they changed.
Yeah.
But that's when they had picked up Lonnie. And the only thing on that first album, the Herb Alpert Presents, I liked Mashkenada. I didn't like much anything else in that album, but that next album, that Equinox album in 67, was tremendous. And believe it or not, that's the only one that A&M doesn't put out on CD.
It's funny you just mentioned that song, because I was just about to say Mashkenada.
Yeah, well, that was the first American hit. But as I say, there were so many things before it that were just so wonderful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I play them. I play them fairly regularly.
Yeah, we just lost him, or 3-4 months ago?
Yeah, we very, very recently, and that's why I played a ton of his stuff the week that he passed, because, it was not totally unexpected, but still, it was very sad.
Hey, Raleigh, if I give you a line from a movie, could you tell me what movie?
Probably not. You know, I've seen 5 movies in my life. 5.
What if I said to you, what we got here is a failure to communicate?
Couldn't tell. Heard of it, but couldn't tell you.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, I just don't. I'm literally 5 movies, one of which is The Producers, the original Producers. Loved it. But I'm not a movie person. I don't like visual things. So, I listen to the television while John watches it. Let's put it that way.
Raleigh, one more thing. I'll let you loose here, because I'm kind of zoned out anyway since I fell asleep. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to see a performance on October 26th at College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn at the Belushi Hall. Mm-hmm. That's from Jim Belushi,
yeah,
not John.
Right.
And nice venue there. And I just wonder if you ever heard of, now keep in mind, I'm not familiar with them, but apparently they're going to do a lot of stuff from the 80s.
Uh-oh. Well.
Anyway, the name of the band is Electric Avenue.
Oh, well, yeah, and that's from the, that's named after the Eddie Grant song.
Yeah.
So
other than that, I'm not familiar with them, but that's what they're going to cover.
They're a cover band, and so it's not the kind of thing that you would normally go out and buy the records. But they do a lot of private events. They do, you know, and other stuff like that. So if you like the '80s, then that's what they are—an '80s tribute band, and they're booked regularly.
I'm thinking it could be fun, you know, stand up and sing along kind of thing in the audience.
Well, why not? Absolutely. So you're going to do is that the 23rd private event?
No, I think there's still tickets available. It's not private, and it's a performance, like I said, at College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn.
Yeah.
And I got tickets ready. October 26th.
Oh, 26th. Okay. All right. So, and that's in Glen Ellyn, Illinois.
Yeah. At the really nice venue right on the campus there.
Good.
So.
Good. Well, I have a feeling you'll have a great time.
Hey, I meant to start off with this, and again, forgive me, because I'm a little zoned out. But I meant to say happy birthday right off from the get-go.
Yeah, to Fran, absolutely.
No, to me.
Is today the day?
Well, it's after midnight, so technically it was before midnight, but yeah.
Oh, wow, so it was the 3rd. No.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, the 3rd, okay.
You said you had some other birthdays.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I was saying, it was a somewhat of a shock. A good friend of mine, one of my program directors from the 70s, George Johns, was born on October 3rd, and today he died on October 3rd.
Yeah, what a shame.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, I mean, 83 years, it was a good life.
Excellent.
All right. Well, happy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Riley. I'm glad I called back. I'm glad
me
I got
too.
You have a great weekend.
Yeah, go back to sleep. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. And we have a final break at 57-something. Or none this hour. I don't remember which way it went. And I'm supposed to be doing something here, and I'm trying to, but apparently the Drifters aren't cooperating. But here they are now.
Everybody knows you came with him, but another girl caught his eye. Now you're sitting there all alone, watching them dance by.
I'll take you home.
And I know back to you, but don't worry, I'll take you home. So little girl, don't you be blue. Now I know that you wore that pretty red dress just for him to see.
I'll take you home.
Yeah, but I wanna tell you that red dress looks good to me.
I'll take you home.
Oh, I know you feel like you wanna die, but try pretending that I'm your guy. I'll take you home. So little girl, now don't you cry. I'll take you home when the dance is over. I'll take you home, just you wait and see. You're gonna dance that last dance with me. Let me tell you now, I know the way that you feel, I can understand.
I'll take you home.
I had a date just like you when the dance began.
I'll take you home.
But the girl I came with just wasn't true. She's the girl who took him from you. So you see now, I'll take you home.
Cause little girl, I'm lonely too.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And it's a happy, happy birthday to Fran. I know she loves that, and so we'll send that out from Jim in Richmond. So there you have it. So frustrating day for Fran, but hopefully tomorrow will be brighter. And I'm sure we'll have all next week to talk about it, too, and I'm looking forward to it. So, Jeff in Beloit, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I was taking a walk the other day, and my neighbor, I noticed he's pulling a large cart and having it struggling. I look in the back of it, and it was a bunch of record albums. They're well-kept, and I asked her what's up with those, and she said, well, the previous owner was a record collector, an LP collector. And she had right around 2,000 of them. And I asked her, you know, what is she going to do with them? She said, oh, I'm going to get rid of them. And I said, well, what kind of albums are they? Are they rock or country? And she said, it's everything. And she said she's probably going to take them to the auction house. But my question to you, Raleigh, is something like that worth any money?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. It's like collecting anything. If she has hits, they're worthless. If she has obscure stuff, now you're talking. But most people will say, oh, I've got Beatles albums or I've got Temptation albums or whatever. Not worth a thing. It's like any other collectible, like if you're collecting stamps or coins, it's the rarities. So like Frank Wilson, when he did Do I Love You for Motown, and they recalled the records, and there were only 5 known copies, and one sold in Great Britain for £38,000. Well, that's because there were 5 known copies. But on the other hand, if you're talking about Mary Wells doing My Guy, no, it's not worth a dollar. You know, so most people, when they say, I got a lot of records, they have hits. And so pretty much worthless. I mean, it's worth a lot if you like the records and you want to listen to them, of course. But if you're talking about as an investment or whatever, it's not that form of a collectible.
But if she was a collector, she probably would have some of those obscure things.
Well, most people won't. But I mean, if she is really a collector, she doesn't need to take it to auction. She knows where to go. There aren't many places left, but I don't even know who's auctioning right now.
Yeah, this is a different situation. She actually inherited it with a house.
Uh-huh. So she may have no idea what it is. It's somebody else who collected records. They may have thousands of them.
And they did. There was thousands
right.
there.
And so, but I guarantee you they're hits.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Because well, it would be
a commercial use or use of other than a collector, huh?
Well, you know, commercial use. What commercial use would there be? You can go to any discount store or Goodwill or whatever, and they'll have some record albums for sale, and you know they'll be anywhere from $1 to $10, depending on what it is. And if it's $10, it may be there quite a while. But what are you going to do with it? You know, there's just
a lot of space too.
Well, and you know, I talk about this with people like Val Shively, who has 5 million 45s, and the bottom line is, what do you do? And the reality is not much. There's a guy in Brazil who wants to buy a copy of every record that's ever made, and he's been doing that. He's got millions and millions now at this point, but obviously he's not doing it at a premium price, to say the least. But he's the only collector I know. He's bought up a few record stores in the States that have gone out of business. But most of them close, and that's the end of it. You know, you don't see too many people at the few swap meets that are left.
Right. I mean, this collection looked to be at least 50 years old.
Well, that's nothing. I mean, 50 years ago is 1974.
Yeah, that's true.
So who would care?
Yeah.
You know, remember 1982 CDs came out.
Right, and they're supposed to not skip, and they're supposed to be...
Well, you know, some of them... And some do and some don't, and the quality on some is ridiculous and some get rot, and of course the algorithm on the early ones, there is no bass. We could go on and on and on, but regardless, there's just not much of a market for what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It would normally have... At this point in time, it would have to be a collector. And a collector is collecting because of the rarity of the item.
Yeah, I collect motorcycles, and I know a lot about bikes. But see, that would be my problem with these record albums, is I don't know what is rare. and
you can easily get the Whitburn books that show everything that ever charted, and you could look it up to see if it charted, but just because it didn't chart doesn't make it collectible. It's got to have more going for it than that.
Yeah, I just don't have that knowledge.
Right.
I mean, like you would be able to sort through that.
If it were me, I'd just dump them.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, time is too short. You know, and believe me, I've got hundreds of thousands at this point, and when I go, they just go in the junk heap.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I mean, how many albums do you have, and how do you store those?
Badly, you know, I mean, that's why John is always, when the kind of music he likes, he'll look, and of course, I've got a copy of it, but he'll look at it, and maybe I used it as a coaster, and say, well, I want a clean copy. Well, clean is not my collection. So I don't, yeah. You know, 45s, shucks are optional. I'll just go through them. But I've always been hard on my toys. But, I don't have any illusions that what I have is particularly valuable. I remember one time John was looking through my stuff and he saw Do I Love You by Frank Wilson and almost passed out. I said, you don't believe that's the original, do you? That's a boot. It just looks like the original. So, although I did have some stuff that he sold on eBay. Like I had all these, what are they? Test pressings and things like that, that I got over the years. And Yoko Ono brought a couple $100. I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. So you never know. So what can I say? But I don't mean to be a downer on this by any means, but I get this question all the time. And I always refer people, if they want to talk to an expert, call Val Shibley. You know, tell him I told you to call, and then he'll talk to you. It'll take that, believe me. But then you can ask him, and I have a feeling he's going to tell you to just dump them in the trash.
Well, you answered my question. I just...
I wish it was a better answer. I wish it... Now, but again, if one of those records is somebody's favorite record, they may want to keep it because they like it. But this assumes they have a turntable.
Yes. Yeah, I've got a couple of them.
Yeah.
And they need work. All the time they need work.
No, I've got turntables. None of them need work, thank God. I've got a lot of them. But you know, time to play them and all that. And I must say that it's very rare that there's a record where I have a Jones for that I don't already own.
Can you find everything on the internet that you look for?
Yeah. But
you can.
Yeah. I've yet to not find it, but most of the stuff I've got on vinyl, you know, I've got it. So I don't have to resort to the internet. But, you know, very rare that something isn't up there. Especially if it was a hit. But even with the flops. You know, like when I did that thing on Loveland, the whole history of Loveland, one of the versions I know is not online, but I had the 45.
Yeah, I never hear a needle skip or anything like that when I'm listening to you guys.
Well,
so
I some of the stuff on these drives are not the original 45s. They were done hastily, and I grit my teeth when I hear them. Just, I got to replace that, because when I do a 45, if I'm going to use it on my radio stations, I by hand take out every pop and click, and that means I'm working for about 90 minutes per song. And so, I do that, but lately, I've been thinking, you know, I might rather hear pops and clicks than some of these remastered, you know, garbage. So maybe I'll go back if I ever have time and pull some out. But no, there aren't many pops and clicks. But there may be in the future. So we'll see.
Well, you answered my question. All but right. If she does take it down to the auction, I'll try to pay attention to it to see what it would actually go for.
Or if it goes at all. It may not go at all. You know, and the other thing is if she's got a lot of product and she wants to set a minimum, she can do that. But, you know, she'd kind of have to have an idea what she's got.
Yeah, one time I went down there and I tried to make it brief. They had a train set, and this was this guy's life work.
Yeah.
It was as huge as a room. It's just amazing, all the tracks that he had in this and all the trains and everything. But to move it in the space.
Right.
So it went up for auction. Nobody bid on it.
Right.
He paid $10 to have somebody take it and get it out of there.
Exactly. That's precisely what you're going to find with this.
Yep.
Let me know, though. I'll be curious to see what it brings.
I'll do it. Thank you, Riley.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, you too. 888-876-5593. A minute to go, and apologies to those we don't get to, but let's see if we can get David in Winthrop, Illinois. Welcome back to WGN Radio. David, are you there? Speak quickly or forever hold your peace. I guess he's holding. All right, so with that in mind, Debbie gets the last 30 seconds, so Debbie, they are yours. No, Debbie hung up. All right, so yeah, we're now down to 15 seconds, and all I'm going to do is say, James G., thanks for the stories. Don't send too many, but what you send is good. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right,
have a good weekend.
You too. All right, so tomorrow night is a replay of Monday Night Trivia. Monday night, we got a live 3 hours Monday Night Trivia. I'm looking forward to it. There is no straggler. It'll be a fresh question. However, on Tuesday, we will have somewhat of a delay because there's sports, but we'll tell you more about that next week. Until then, pretty much that's a wrap. We thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. I thank those of you who called. Thank you very much, especially putting up with an hour phone glitch and calling back. Impressive stuff. Much appreciated. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.